Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts, add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to not one, but two guests today. As a mother-daughter team, their approach to residential design combines influences that are both traditional and modern, designing rooms that are thoughtfully curated and have an irresistible charm that inspires them. After graduating from Barnard College, Mom studied interior design and decorative arts at Parsons New School for Design. She launched her career working for the acclaimed design firms Coleman and Kravis and Terry Despont, later transitioning as a style editor and producer of content for Martha Stewart Living. Her daughter graduated from Bowdoin College, majoring in art history, then worked for Teen Vogue magazine as a fashion news writer before they joined forces. Their work now appears in Architectural Digest, House Beautiful, Traditional Home, Vogue, Elle Decor, In Style, Lonnie, Better Homes and Gardens, Country Living, and the New York Times. Their first book is titled Good Bones, Great Pieces, The Seven Essential Pieces to Carrying You Through a Lifetime. Together, they are making the world more beautiful. Suzanne and Lauren McGrath, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Great to have both of you ladies with us today. Suzanne, as we're wont to do around here, why don't you take us back and tell us the story of you falling in love with design for the first time?
Well, thank you. I guess it started with... After I graduated from Barnard, I went to the London School of Economics to study business, economics, and statistics. And I was so miserable. I spent every free moment visiting museums, taking off on the weekends to visit British country homes, or going to anywhere and everywhere I could where I could get inside and just look at how people lived in beautiful homes. And there was no turning back, and I failed statistics, so I really didn't see myself having a future in that area. So I came back to New York and, you know, started working in the industry, went to Parsons at night, and the rest is pretty much history. Here I am.
No looking back, right?
No looking back.
And Lauren, how about you? What was that evolution like? I mean, you had your mom as a role model. Was that the big influence for you?
Definitely. I mean, I know I had the advantage of, you know, growing up in, you know, the beautiful homes that my mother designed. So really, from a young age, I think, you know, either consciously or unconsciously, I was definitely, you know, all of my surroundings, I was soaking it all in. And, you know, I don't think, you know, I went to Bowdoin College and I studied art history, which was, you know, actually a really great way to learn about, you know, decorative art history at the same time. And, you know, what are the most beautiful color combinations, you know, just look at a painting. And I think that, you know, I definitely never thought when I was in college, oh, I'm going to go become an interior designer. That was very far from my thoughts. I thought I was going to go to medical school or something. And, but I ended up after school working for Teen Vogue magazine. And that was a great experience, and I learned so much there. But I think I realized as I was there that I was much more drawn to, you know, the interior world as opposed to the fashion world. And this was at the time when my mom was, you know, leaving Martha Stewart to take some time off. And one of the things that she really wanted to do was write a book. And all of the agents that she met with said, well, you know, you've been behind the scenes for so many years working for Martha Stewart and, you know, different design firms, and, you know, no one knows who you are. And, you know, it's really hard to get a book deal if, you know, you don't have a name. And they said, you know, you really got to get a blog. A blog would be a great way to get a book deal. And this was kind of at the time when, you know, people were really reading interior design blogs, and we kind of hit it right at the right moment. And sure. I was working in fashion, and my mom basically said, you know, can you help me start this blog, you know? And we just did it together kind of on the weekends and for fun, and it just sort of caught on. And about a year later, we had a book deal with Abrams. And in order to, you know, we wanted the book to have a lot of original photography in it of interiors that we had worked on together. And so in order to do that, we had to start taking on projects. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point, we still weren't like, oh, let's, you know, start a design firm together. We were really just enjoying writing the book together and producing this book. And it's just sort of, you know, fell out from there. And now we're, you know, in our fifth year working together, and it's really wonderful.
Wow. That's an interesting journey. I've never, you know, sort of the chicken and the egg concept, but you had the blog and the book really before the firm was fully up and functional then.
Oh, totally. Right? I mean, yeah, it was, that was not our aim in any way to, you know, start a firm together. It really just sort of grew out of, you know, doing the book and people approaching us and saying, you know, we'd love your blog, and would you decorate my house? It's crazy. And I mean, I think they knew that, you know, my mom had all of this experience, sure. you know, to back it up, but it's a very, you know, non-traditional way of going about this.
Well, so as you sit here today, how does the blog fit into the work that you're doing right now? How do you divide your time and make sure that everything gets done? Suzanne, jump in and talk to us about that.
Well, it's funny because sadly the blog has taken somewhat of a back seat now, although we mm-hmm. still try. We used to write original content every single day. Now we try once a week to write a post for the blog, but really the blog has become a chronicle of the work that we're doing on the projects that we're doing, and so that becomes easier for us to write. It's not like we're sitting here saying, well, what should we write about today? It's more like, what project are we working on this week that has great visuals and people can really learn something from? Because the whole idea of the blog and everything, the book as well, was really just to share what I've learned, because I've had so much great exposure and so many wonderful experiences. So now I think people go to the blog who really are looking for information. And also I think there's some people who just follow us because they feel like they know us now. You know, we've developed a relationship with our readers, and they come back and see what we're up to, which is really fun.
Now, that really is. I mean, it's a very close, intimate relationship. People
Definitely.
Really do buy in very intimately to what you're up to.
Totally. Yeah. And then we follow that up with Instagram, which is another, you know, huge audience for us that has grown, you know, dramatically in a short amount of time. And similarly, it's our Instagram posts are very specific. Here's what we saw today. Here's what we photographed today for an installation. Here's what we're inspired by. So the people who come to us are people who are equally passionate about interior design, or they're hoping to one day hire an interior designer, or, you know, all of it.
All of the above, right? All of the above.
Yeah.
Well, so with that in mind, what are you working on right now that you are particularly excited about?
We are working on some really great projects right now. Interestingly, they're all historic homes, which is something that we really, really love to do and are really passionate about. We just love old homes. And, you know, we've been so lucky to have gotten the opportunity to, you know, work on some really, really great old homes. And we have a couple brownstones in Brooklyn that we're working on, and an old house in New Orleans in the Garden District, a colonial house in Westchester. So, you know, I think, you know, my mom has so much experience with interior architecture, and she's really interested in preservation. So these projects really like get at that part of her that that's really her passion. I'm more about, you know, the soft materials and the furnishings and the textiles and the art and the accessories. And she's really, you know, fascinated by the interior architecture and, you know, bringing homes back to, you know, how they, you know, would have been, but with a fresh take.
Right. With a modern approach. So do you think that that has really become a niche that your firm has been identified as doing, working on older homes? Is that something that you've been conscious about creating, Suzanne?
No, not at all. It's just, we're just lucky. That's why Lauren said we feel so lucky. Our project that we just recently published on ArcDigest.com was actually a young couple's apartment in Tribeca, which was very, very much a young, fresh take on a kind of a sterile loft space, which we loved doing as well. Fortunately, the couple had a more traditional taste perspective, but we added bones to the space in where there was not a lot of interior architecture at all, and that was fun for me. But you really can't choose what you do. You just listen to people tell you what they want and what their house is like, and then you just kind of make a decision if it's a good fit.
And then jump into the deep end of the pool, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Indeed, indeed. Well, when you think about the scope of the work that you're doing, the intricacies of the day-to-day work, what is it that you love the most about the work that you're doing right now? Lauren?
I think that we both really love the early stages of the process, that, you know, freneticism, the excitement of starting something new and getting inspired, you know, bouncing ideas off of each other, sending text messages at, you know, 12 o'clock in the morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning. I think that's where we really, that's our drug. We're totally addicted to that part of the process. But, you know, I think there's also something to be said for sort of the middle part of the project as well, because that's when you really start to see things coming together and you get the great joy of working with, you know, so many incredible artisans and vendors that, you know, they're the people who really make all your ideas come to life. And,
sure.
You know, we've met so many great people, you know, working together, and just so many talented people. So,
Suzanne, how about you?
Well, it's too bad you're not with us right now, but we have a conference table, which is a slash dining table in our office, that is completely strewn with photos of antiques and furniture pieces, fabrics, paint swatches, tile pieces, trim, everything, drawings, all of it. And it looks like a mess, but it's actually not a mess. And this is what we call putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And I love this part because we already have in our minds what the rooms are going to look like. It's a little out of focus, but we have a very good idea at this point. We're several weeks into this. And now that
Right.
we know what we're doing, we have to put the pieces onto the puzzle and make sure everything fits exactly in place. And I love that part.
Very exciting. Well, now, if you flip that coin over, Suzanne, there are the things that we love to do, and then there are the things that are sometimes really challenging to do. How do you navigate those waters? What are the challenging parts, and how do you get through them?
Well,
Suzanne?
Yes. our design process is really specific, and it involves three phases. First, we take the time to really get to know the families of the homes that we are designing, which is really important and can't be undervalued. Then we basically like to take them with us to our upholsterer to see some of the antiques that we're specifying. And then thirdly, we create this massive presentation, which in one meeting basically shows them every detail of what the rooms will look like when they are installed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the hard thing and the frustrating thing for us is when our clients don't have enough time to really collaborate with us, because that's where the fun is. I like knowing in the back of my head that this specific client is 6'4" and he doesn't want a chair where he can't stretch out his legs in a certain fashion, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like coming to a meeting and saying, look, I found this chair for you. It's built for you. It's going to be perfect for those wonderful long legs of yours, and seeing him smile and say, ah, that's great. That's just great. That's probably the most challenging part, is just making sure that we gather enough information and spend enough time with our clients so that when they come to that meeting, they get that feeling like, oh, they really cared about us and our home is really going to be what we imagined.
That would be difficult, because that kind of knowledge about your client can only come with time. And as busy as people are, that must be really difficult, carving that out with your clients.
Yeah, it's tricky. We end up early mornings and late evenings. You know?
Late nights, yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, for both of you, I'm going to point this question at you, maybe let Lauren jump in and take it first. But our listeners at home tune in. Sometimes they're not working with a designer. Sometimes they're creating their own interiors and making their home as beautiful as possible. Talk to our listeners at home for a few minutes, ladies, and give them some tips or some ideas that might help them, avoid mistakes or make better decisions as they're working on their own homes. Lauren?
Well, I think there's so many, you know, tips out there for people decorating at home, whether it's, you know, using the right paint color, or making sure that the rug is sized appropriate to the room, or, you know, proportion. I mean, all of these things are so crucial to what we do as designers. But I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about the pieces and finding something beautiful that you love, that you can invest in. And, you know, and at the end of the day, when that piece is in your house, how does it make you feel? Because, you know, a beautiful room isn't just a beautiful room. It's a beautiful room because it makes you feel really good. It makes you feel confident, or maybe it makes you feel calm or restful. So I think, you know, identifying what those pieces are for you and then investing in them is the best way to go about it. And I think if you don't know what's beautiful, you know, go to a museum and see some of these, you know, most perfectly proportioned forms, and then take those ideas and go to your local antique store, or, you know, pick up a design book, and, you know, you'll start, you know, seeing things again and again that, you know, they're beautiful for a reason.
They are. And that beauty never goes away. Those are timeless elements that, that are applicable, whether you're looking at modern or more contemporary pieces of furniture or antiques, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
Indeed, indeed. Suzanne, how about you? What are your thoughts? If you could talk to our listeners directly and give them a tip or an idea to avoid making mistakes, what would you say to them?
Well, I like to tell people that we're in the business of transformation. And if everyone could step back and approach furnishing their homes in the same way, I think that they wouldn't be as intimidated by the process. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that the rooms that you live in should be so comfortable and so simple in a way that you feel relaxed and comfortable in them. It's not about filling the rooms with, you know, the perfunctory sofa, chair, and table. It's more about finding things that you see and you imagine to be comforting to you, and kind of assembling them in your home in a way that feels easy.
Easy, maybe, and effortless?
Is effortless.
That sort of what we're going for?
Effortless.
No, that makes great sense. It really does. Well, so let's then turn that question around and think about the places that each of you call home. Have you applied those rules in your home, and what have been the effects? What are the favorite spaces maybe that you've created in your home? Lauren, how about you?
I would say that I live in a small apartment on the Upper East Side, and I think that my living room is probably my favorite room in the apartment. It's not a big room, and it doesn't have a lot of furniture in it, but the pieces that it does have are pieces that each have a story behind them, and that's what makes them so special. You know, I have a coffee table in my living room that I designed and had a really wonderful decorative painter, Dean Barger, make an incredible faux finish on it. And every time I look at it, I think of him and I think of the work that he put into it and just how beautiful it is. And I have this beautiful French table that I bought from one of our dealers that just is the perfect proportions. And I marvel at it every day. And I think that, you know, if we can help our clients to assemble rooms that have pieces like this that are just so special that every day you look at it and you say, that is just such a beautiful piece of furniture and it's so special to me, then I think we've done a good job.
How about you, Suzanne?
Well, I love seeing the world with fresh eyes. I'm never satisfied with one seating arrangement for any room. I am constantly moving the pieces around the rooms in my house, which is not a very big house, but my husband just doesn't know what to expect when he comes home at night.
Constant surprise, right?
It's just, yes. It's just, you know, seeing how the morning light comes into a room one day and thinking, oh, I should put a chair there. I'm going to move that chair from over here to over there. And this comes into play when I select pieces for our clients. I'm always thinking not to purchase for them something that's only going to have one place where it could live, because that feels kind of impractical to me.
So you're looking for pieces that have multiple applications then, right?
Yes, I'm looking for pieces that can definitely, well, for example, there's a demi-lune table in my living room right now that is up against a wall next to the fireplace. I got it from I think I bought it at Brimfield Market on the lawn there. And it lives in my living room right now with a lamp on it and photos from Lauren's recent wedding. But it also sometimes lives in my entryway because it fits there too. And then it has, you know, a tray with the keys and the, you know, the doggy bags and all of that stuff, a handbag. So, and I love that. I love that table. And I love it in the entryway and I love it in the living room. And that's the idea I'm talking about.
Sure.
And I think it also speaks to, You know, not only are we always looking for pieces that our clients could potentially move around their own house, you know, in a few years when we're gone and they just want to kind of refresh, but also, you know, people move so much these days. And, you know, for example, this project that we just did in Tribeca, you know, at some point they'll probably move out of the city to a house. And, you know, we were very thoughtful about the pieces that we purchased for them and the things that we designed so that someday they could really live somewhere else and not be so specific to the space that they're in now.
Exactly. No, I get that. Well, what would our listeners be surprised to find in your home, Suzanne?
Imperfection. I mean, yay. I have been collecting stuff my whole life, from flea markets, from Brooklyn sidewalks, from Brimfield Market, every tag sale. When I worked for Martha Stewart on Fridays, we would sometimes, before work, a bunch of the producers, we would basically go to random tag sales in Westport in that area, which where you could find really great stuff, but you have to get there early. And I buy things, you know, I would buy things because of the shape or the form that they were, but never because they were in perfect condition. And so if you look too closely at anything in my house, you'll notice that it's definitely not, you know, in pristine condition or waxed or, you know, it's all got a little age on it. It's just okay. Because for me, it's not about perfection. It's just about comfort. And I like having things with some age on them around me. Nice. Yeah.
No, that sounds like a very comfortable and relaxing environment to be in.
Yes,
how about you, Lauren? What surprises await our listeners in your home?
Well, I don't know how many surprises they would find in my living space because it's so edited down because my husband and I hate clutter and are constantly purging our apartment. I would say that maybe they would be surprised to know that I have a refrigerator full of every flavor of ice cream that that you can imagine. I have a bad sweet tooth, so
we'll get along just nicely. Yeah. Yeah, I can't keep ice cream in my house because I eat every little bit of it. So I just don't bring it in the door.
Well, you just have to buy
ladies.
More, like me.
Oh, no. See, it's a never-ending cycle. I buy it, I eat it, I regret it. So what's the very best decorating advice that you ladies have ever come across? Lauren?
The best decorating advice. I think that the best advice that I've ever gotten comes from Suzanne. And it's that great relationships define the room. That it's all about how these pieces that we've been talking about relate to each other. And that is something that, you know, I'm still learning about because it is just so complex. And I think it's interesting because it's one of the things that often our clients will come to us. I spoke to somebody the other day who said, I was, you know, on your portfolio looking at your photos and, you know, I love the overall effect of your rooms, but I would have never thought to choose, you know, half of the things that you put in that room. And I think that's sort of one of the, like, that's the one, the keys to what we do as professionals is, you know, finding the right pieces that relate to each other in a way that's interesting and eclectic and, you know, like Suzanne was saying earlier, comforting. Nothing
right.
is jumping out at you, but it's also not boring and it has texture and it's interesting and it's complicated.
Suzanne, how about you? What's the best decorating advice you've ever come across?
Well, this is not going to sound very original, but I actually... I think that it's important to invest in beautiful things. I mean, maybe one beautiful thing a year. I think it's important to invest well in beautiful things. Not everything has to be beautiful, and we tell our clients this. I mean, not everything has to be an investment, and we tell our clients this. But you should buy things that are really special and push yourself more than you think you should once in a while, and you won't regret it.
No regrets at all when you go down that path, right?
Right.
No regrets at all. Ladies, I'm just looking at the clock, and I realize that the time has gotten away from us. I've been having so much fun chatting with you. Let's jump down to our last question. You know this one. We end every show with the same question. So I'm going to paint a picture for you both, and then I'm curious to hear what each of you has to say. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home? Lauren, how about you?
Gosh, you know, I was thinking a lot about this question, and I think that I would buy the best quality sofa that I could, and then I would buy a TV, because first of all, I'm a huge I love TV. I feel like that's such a horrible thing to say, but the way that I like to relax when I come home at night is by watching one of my favorite series, and it's interesting because the way that we watch TV has changed so much in the past 20 years, and you know, because of that, shows have become so much more engaging, and the nuance of the character development and the arc of the story, you really become consumed in, you know, the art of these shows and lost in this, you know, fantasy world. And I think that feeling of feeling lost in something is really, you know, is so exciting. And it's also, you know, that's how we want our spaces to feel at the end of the day. You know, everybody wants to feel, you know, like they can escape. And even if it's just for a few hours.
Can make all the difference in the world, can't it? How about you, Suzanne? Talk to us about how you would handle this new world.
Well, my idea of a perfect world would be if I were free to do nothing at all, which sounds strange from a person who's worked her entire adult life. But I would probably keep it really simple. I would buy a blow-up bed and spend all of my money on books because I love to read. And if you saw my night table, you'd see stacks and stacks of books, half of which I've not read at all, and a quarter of which I'm halfway through. And I think the freedom to just, you know, be there by myself and read would be fantastic. It's something I dream about. I know it seems very like isolating, but I guess maybe it's because I'm always with people all day long. But I often think about that when we're creating spaces as well. Like, where would someone go to just, you know, have some quiet time, you know, uninterrupted, and feel really comfortable?
Yeah. And that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, having that would actually be quite luxurious to have that kind of opportunity.
Yes.
So maybe I'll come visit you in your new world. How's that?
You should. You're welcome.
Suzanne, Lauren, this has been great getting to chat with you today. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. We loved it.
We did also. We want to say thanks to our subscribers at home. None of this means anything if it's not for you. So thanks for tuning into the show. Thanks for sharing news about the show with your friends and helping us to grow. Go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can click a few buttons. You can add your name to our email list. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And then finally, and maybe most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.